Good morning, friends. It's Friday here at Coast Community Radio. I'm your host, Jim Wilkins, ably assisted by Terry Wilson on the engineering board there with the levers and buttons and stuff on it. And the Friday show is produced by Kathleen Morgain. Now, I'm happy to have with me in the studio this morning Dale Barrett, who's running for Clatsop County Commission District Number 5. Dale, thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Jim. Glad to be here.
I'd like to start out with a little biographical sketch of Dale Barrett, and then we'll dive into the nitty-gritty of the campaign.
Well, I moved into Clatsop County in 1982, was a county surveyor and deputy county surveyor for about 3.5-4 years. Learned quite a bit about the county government during that time frame and kind of the history of surveying and again, how Clatsop County worked. We changed through that time period from an elected position to home rule. So I understand home rule quite well here and the roles of the county and the county commission. After my tenure there for about 4 years, I purchased into a company down in Manzanita area called Hanforth & Larson, which ultimately became Hanforth Larson Barrett. And for the last 30 years, I have been an owner in that company. We've grown that company from about 7 employees up to its peak at about 55 employees. Did a lot of business here in the county, worked with a lot of great folks, and understand how things work in all of our little communities, Astoria, Warrington, Seaside, Cannon Beach, and continue to work for those folks today. So, still in practice, still have a business, and still employing folks.
But you grew up down in Klamath Falls?
That's correct. Left Klamath Falls in about 1973, got my surveying degree at OIT down there, mm-hmm. and then worked in Medford for approximately 10 years, also in the surveying, engineering, and worked for a sewer district down there, another municipal agency for about 4 years. So had a good mix in the background of what I do.
I'll have to notify our listeners that I've known and worked with Dale for all of the years that he's mentioned, and we've done an awful lot of projects together scattered around the North Coast, and it was always a pleasure working with Dale at HLB. But I'll have to ask you, Dale, you always seem like pretty level-headed, kind of aware sort of individual. How did you happen to choose to run for county commissioner?
Well, I ask myself that still today, but I wanted to give the people of Clatsop County a good logical choice for the position. I always have fancied myself as being able to work environmentally friendly and sensitive, but yet progressive enough to continue to have good family wage jobs, build good infrastructure and projects, you know, housing projects, those kinds of things that fit within our community and can be proud of. I want to offer that kind of approach if I'm elected into the county commission position. I'll bring that decision making with me.
And that would be kind of a form of economic development?
That's correct. Economic development is important, and then making sure that it fits within our environment here on the county and our special, unique situation with all the water that we have and enjoyment of our recreation in the coast and the beach and the people who've been here for all these years.
You know, kind of in that vein, I'm curious about your take on this proposal to import and store liquefied natural gas here.
Well, I have not come out, contrary to any articles you've read in the paper, I have not come out in favor or against that. The articles say I'm all against it, or I mean all in favor of it, but I can't tell you I am. I've chosen not to come out strongly for or against because over my years of practice, and I've done a lot of land use planning, and presentations. And I know if you go into a decision like that and you're biased, and the example was our last county commission was biased in the decision on the pipeline portion of the LNGs. And it got appealed to LUBA, Land Use Board of Appeals. Land Use Board of Appeals remanded it back and said, the decisions are biased. You need to have them redone. And I think in the long run, that is just going to force the decision to a federal agency that we're not going to have any input into it. So because of that, I have not come out for or against one way or the other. I would go into a decision, evaluate what it is, and make a fair decision. If it's not good for us, if it's not good for the Columbia River, then that can be the decision. No, I'm not in favor of it. So you have to weigh everything that's going on, and I have not looked at the current LNG proposal that they're looking at in Warrington in any depth whatsoever.
I wonder if you'd expand a little bit on how local action could force the decision up to the federal level.
Well, the decision, from what I understand, the decision process, Federal Energy Commission, FERC, will has the authority to take the decision over for the most part, because if you cannot get a fair decision locally, they can appeal that way, and the Federal Energy Commission will make a decision. And their goals are probably more oriented toward, do we need the energy and do we need this source or not? They're not quite as in tuned to the community as the local people are. And to keep that decision here locally, I think that you need to have fair and open-minded people sit and make that decision.
You know, it seems kind of ill-considered to me to build those tanks basically in the tsunami inundation zone, and not only that, within 20 or 30 miles of the fault that will cause the subduction zone earthquake. Can you imagine another location where they could build the tanks to store that stuff?
Well, yeah, I was aware of the one up the river at Bradwood, where, you know, that was less populated area up there. Might have been a better choice in the long run, but I understand the impacts off the river and the people that are in that area. So sounds like there is a movement to even now move it clear up to Portland area with that propane storage that they just announced about 2 weeks ago. Really, it sounds to me like that is also very similar to an LNG. So are we going to gain anything by denying it here and having the ship still go by Astoria on the way up to Portland to offload? Don't know. Need to see that proposal and see what it is. But if that's the case, again, the decision will not be made here locally.
But there's shiploads of toxic stuff going up and down this river all the time. I can't imagine a little bit more is going to make a big difference.
Never know, do you? If they come out and want to keep a 500 or 1,000-foot distance from all the ships as you're coming in and out and all these guys out fishing, it could impact a lot of people there. But you are correct. I mean, same thing with the pipeline. You know and I know, because during the construction industry, there are gas pipelines all over in the ground. And stopping one more gas pipeline running through the area, is that really saving anything or not? Again, we drive over them every day, and they can safely be built, a pipeline. Could you say it's never going to erupt or blow up? No, you could never say that. So.
Right. But regarding the federal impact locally, we've got some mandates coming down now about our dikes and levees that is driven by federal guidelines. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, that's one of my hot topics, if you will. Working with FEMA, and I have worked with FEMA since they instituted their program in 1978, it's very frustrating. FEMA and their flood program has not done our community a great deal of good. They are requiring that those levees be certified. And those levees that were built in the around Warrington and Miles Crossing and all up along the river there were built in the 40s. They do need maintenance, but we've been working as a consultant to the city of Warrington for about 5 years now to try to get them certified. The only people you can work with would be the Corps of Engineers. Corps of Engineers is another federal agency, very challenging to work with. Currently, we are not gaining very much. Every time you think you get a problem solved with these agencies, then it kind of changes over. On that same aspect, FEMA has decided they were losing money, so they have come back through and are now increasing the rates substantially for all the citizens that are in the floodways. I've gotten calls within the last 2 or 3 weeks. One individual in Gearhart will have to pay $38,000 a year for flood insurance. That far exceeds the mortgage on the house. I mean, how are we going to deal with that? And I understand federal agencies difficult to deal with. And their answer is, oh, it's simple. We can fix all this later. But they don't want to work with you. I'm working with Merkley's office, Bonamucci's office, even the state flood coordinator in Salem, Christine Shirley, we have to do something. We have to find ways to get FEMA to listen and not price us out of our own homes because of flood insurance. So,
would part of the requirement involve raising the elevation of the levees?
We've proven through the work that we've done in my firm, they're very close to being high enough right now. It's more strengthening the levees so that we can be assured there won't be a breach in it. It's also the tide gates that are in there and maintenance that may need to be done on those to make sure that they'll last and stay safe. And again, a breach in that levee won't happen. There's some encroachment into the levees. There's some structures that have been built into the sides of them that probably should never have been built. I got to deal with that somehow. So it's complicated.
Yeah. Give me an example of a structure that's built into the levee.
Well, you don't realize it, but where you come across the bridge right into Warrington, there's some mini storages kind of on the side. Those are actually in the levee area. So, again, you don't realize it, but it's the levee's kind of been knocked down in that area. There are a couple of homes that were built on into the edge of it in Warrington as well. So, going to be very difficult to deal with.
What other hot-button issues are you looking at?
The traffic through Seaside and the south end of Seaside where the flooding, they've got a lot of that resolved, but if you take a look at that highway, that is still just a mess down there, one of the worst highways in the county. So I think we need to address it. You know, I know tourism is big. I've been here for 30 years, and I'm seeing that traffic increase more and more every year to the point it's very frustrating. Hood to Coast, it took me 2.5 hours to go from Gearhart to the south end of Seaside.
Wow.
Very frustrating. We need to address that. We need to find out how we can improve that. You know, kind of stems back to ODOT working with the city in the mid to late 90s, early 2000, I think, and tried to get a road project through, and it got denied. Well, now we sit and we're in a really tough spot. We've studied it ever since. We really are not addressing it yet. So that's a very important issue for me. I'd like to see something happen with that. The other thing is the forest logging plan, State Board of Forestry, and their 10-year, 20-year harvest plan. A lot of that timber that has now matured after the Tillamook burns, all that's tax dollars to all our districts here. They've been working on a logging plan for the last several years. I really don't have it worked out, and so I think that's very important to continue that tax revenue stream to our taxing districts, fire departments, school districts, cities.
Right. Well, I'd like to remind our listeners that it's Friday here at Coast Community Radio, and I'm visiting with Clatsop County Commission candidate Dale Barrett, and appreciate having you here, Dale. You know, one of the things that I'm learning a lot about right now is climate change and the effect that that's going to have on this area, particularly sea level rise. Have you given that much thought?
Actually, I have studied it through some of our seminars, which were tied to FEMA, and how the impact on the possible rise is going to affect the coast, and also because I do a lot of work like GPS or global positioning system surveys, and how they're tracking that movement far more accurate today, where the Earth is actually... It'll maybe settle a little bit. The sea rise is coming a little bit. It's not a huge impact, but, you know, as little as a half a foot of water rise is huge in the impact for, you know, our coastal communities, Cannon Beach, Seaside, Warrington. Slowly but surely, one of the best proposals, for example, Seaside trying to move the schools up to the east side, now the tsunami zone. And that's not just good because of tsunamis, it's good because we'll be up and out of the floodways and floodplains down low. Have to deal less with the impacts of on our roads, our houses, infrastructure, and the entire thing that we need to keep a city operating.
You know, I'd like to back up just a bit, Dale, and talk about forest practices. I'm wondering... does Clatsop County, and would you propose to work with Tillamook County regarding these issues? I know there's a councilman down there, Tim Josie, who's very knowledgeable about these issues.
Yeah, I think from what I've learned in researching myself, Tim Josie's right on top of what's going on. He understands it really well. And I think it would be beneficial for our community, our county, to work with Tillamook County. They're the two largest state board of forestry landholders in the state. And so all the revenue source coming out of the state forestry here is very important. And I think both Clatsop and Tillamook have a lot of input into it and how it's going to impact us. I think we'd be very foolish not to work with Tillamook County and Tim.
Do we do that now that you know of?
From what I know, it's limited in communication. There's definitely been communication, but the proposals that have been put out there have not been followed up on.
Getting back to the traffic issue, one of the things that I've been working on for with actually no result, but that's the Astoria bypass. And then when you consider the traffic issues in South County, it seems to make sense that maybe there should be a longer bypass that would bypass Seaside, Gearhart, and come through the plains and then bypass Astoria as well. Have you given it, have you given that any thought? And can you conceive of a way that that could be addressed?
Well, yeah, it's 'cause that was one of the hot topics when the highway plan, what they call the parkway plan that was to go through Seaside, that's why a lot of folks voted against it. They wanted the bypass. The bypass is important. ODOT says you need to improve your internal highway as much as you can first because the cost of a bypass is huge, and it's huge because the environmental impacts have to be dealt with, the impacts on wetlands, the impacts on wildlife, the impacts on it's resource on timberlands. It's not residential lands. So how do we address that? If we put a big bypass on the east side of Astoria or Seaside, which is where it would likely go, near where the existing timberland roads go, then are we cutting off elk and deer that can go back and forth and all the small wildlife? How do we deal with that? So the cost is huge, and that's why ODOT won't commit immediately on saying, yeah, that's the solution to it. What we used to be able to build 20, well, 40 years ago, 30, 50 years ago, we cannot do it in the same manner as we did back in those days. You just can't go out there, put a bulldozer out there and start bulldozing roads and filling in ravines and drainages. Today, it all has to be done under the full Environmental Impact, Endangered Species Acts, a lot of work. That's how we make our living today, is working on that and making sure that development meets those guidelines.
It'd be difficult to build something like that without federal dollars. And it seems to me that federal dollars are kind of drying up. Am I wrong?
Federal dollars, I mean, we talk about infrastructure, federal dollars supporting it every year and every election, and there's commitment to it, but then some of the dollars come through. Probably more importantly, that's where you see ODOT is not doing as much improvement. That could easily be a part of the reason why you don't see the improvements on the south end of Seaside, where all that road has got dips and humps and hard to hang on to get through there. I know that ODOT is starting to gain a little bit more, and some of the funding from the federal government is actually starting to help a little more, but don't get your hopes up that it's going to do a lot right away. We work on, my company works on ODOT projects on a regular basis, and we are now starting to see some of the dollars flow a little more than it has in the last two or three years. So there will be some more infrastructure projects coming, but it's going to be slow.
Yeah. Now, I've got a question here that came in by phone. Why on earth is the taxpayer having to pay for flood control instead of the government?
Well,
and I'm assuming that this has something to do with the levee improvements.
Oh, the levee improvements? The taxpayer, I guess we're talking about the city of Warrington taxpayer, because that's who's trying to solve their issues there. Clatsop County is trying to solve the levee issues, like through the Miles Crossing area. I can tell you this much, FEMA will not solve it. Corps of Engineers will, if they can justify the funding for the project, possibly could fund some of this, okay? But today, you're just not getting the dollars. Absolutely. FEMA has got cash flow issues. They're really not doing well. And a lot of that has stemmed from the, you know, Sandy and all the other storms that they've had to deal with in the south and the east. We kind of run an analysis on the FEMA projects that are FEMA payouts for flood damage here in the county, and it was a small handful. For the dollars that have been paid into the FEMA program for all these years, this county has never seen a benefit on it. Yeah, it's saved a few folks, but so I don't know if that answers the question, but tax dollars and federal government dollars are still coming out of our pockets. It's not privately funded.
Right.
One way or the other, a government is paying on it.
Yeah. What other infrastructure issues can you talk about? I've always thought that it would be a good idea to interconnect all the water lines around the county. It wouldn't take that much to do it. What kind of stuff, from that perspective, could you talk about?
Actually, the water, the cities are all quite well connected already, believe it or not. The only one that is not connected, Cannon Beach, is not connected to Seaside. But Seaside is connected to Gearhart. Gearhart put their own system in, and we were a part of the project that did that. My opinion is it was very, very good project, because now these communities can start supporting each other. If there is a disaster or an earthquake, you've got not only Seaside and their water reservoirs, you've got Gearhart and their reservoirs. They're all connected to City of Warrington, and Warrington is in the process, if not connected, to Astoria. I don't think the connection's very, very good there, but
I don't think there is a connection.
They were going to put one in at Miles Crossing, and I'm not sure that ever got completed yet.
The City of Warrington water line goes out to the airport, and then it dead ends, so that connection would mean boring under the river and connecting over at Miles Crossing is a pretty substantial project. But were that to happen, then everybody from basically the Highway 26 junction to Brownsmead would all be interconnected.
Right. So that's why I say it's really close.
Yeah. But the advantage to that, if you could talk to the people of Gearhart anyway, is that you would have different water sources available that each community could draw on depending on the needs. Do you see any movement to make that connection?
There's no regional agency today.
Right.
The cities are not, I mean, they're cooperating in the point, yeah, let's get it connected, Gearhart, Warrington, and Seaside. I have not seen a strong movement in Astoria yet. I think it would be a good role for the county to take that on. We've also talked about a county having a stronger role in the stormwater and stormwater treatment, a regional stormwater system.
Hmm.
Because really all the ditches are kind of connected too, if you look at it.
Yeah. Hey, we got another question came in here by phone. Getting back to the flood insurance. Why is the federal government in the flood insurance business instead of private entities?
There's hope that there will be movement out of the federal government to private entity, and I think that would be a good move. But that's what the federal legislation set up in 1978 when it started, and that's why we're still in it today. I'm not convinced it's been a highly successful endeavor from what I'm seeing today with FEMA struggling with their cash flow and being able to fund it, and so now they're going to raise all the rates for everybody. I think it's defeating the purpose.
Well, I'm not sure what kind of private entities would be taking over from FEMA.
Actually, there's a couple of them. There's a pilot program starting, one of them in Florida right now, that says we will take on the FEMA program and back the flood insurance. Basically, it's insurance is what it is. And they won't have the same rules exactly that FEMA has. So it's kind of a pilot. It's being worked on. I think if it's successful, we will probably see that gain strength and more other large insurance companies take it over.
So they would be actually taking over the insuring. But what about the maintenance?
Well, they can still follow the same rules that if you have federal dollars in your loan, you have to have flood insurance. Hopefully, they can manage it better than FEMA does to say, well, you're going to get a bill for $38,000. There needs to be some spread out of the program. That's what it was set up for, is people that were built pre-FEMA and the flood program won't have to pay those kind of high rates. That's what it started out as. That's not the way it is today.
But if it's privatized, Dale, the private entities that would take over would naturally need to show a profit. Wouldn't that raise the rates?
I have faith that they would figure out how to do that.
Well, I see that the old clock on the wall is telling us that this wonderful conversation is very soon to come to an end. Dale Barrett, Commissioner for Clatsop County Commission District 5, which is South County, I assume, has been with us today. I appreciate your visiting with us, Dale. We spoke with Leanne Thompson last week, who Dale is running against. And out of those two, I suspect somebody's going to win.
One would hope. It's second time around. I hope there's not a third time.
Yeah. Okay, everybody, thanks for tuning in this Friday, and we'll be talking with you next week.
Thank you, Jim.